Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times?" Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times." Peter was really flexing a little cerebral muscle. It's like, "Hey, Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone who sins against me?" "As many as 7 times. Peter must have really paid attention in Sunday school. You see, 7 was a special number. It goes all the way back to Genesis when God pronounced that if anyone killed Cain to avenge him from killing because of killing his brother Abel, that they themselves would receive a 7-fold vengeance. Then throughout the scriptures, we see the number 7 used many times in that same way, as a number that means extreme. Be it 7 good things or 7 bad things, the number 7 represented an extreme, unexpected, and even unrealistic amount. So Peter was showing off, suggesting that he might forgive an unexpected, extreme amount. Jesus could have left it there. To forgive 7-fold would have been enough to make his point, but he upped the ante by answering, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. Even in some of the ancient manuscripts, it even says 7 times 70, which equals 140 times. No matter if it's 77 times or 490, Jesus lets us know that in the body of Christ, our willingness to forgive has no limits. Since there is no limit to the number of times we are to forgive, does it mean we should stop counting? I guess if we are counting how many times that we have actually forgiven somebody, then we aren't really engaging in the forgiveness process to begin with. I always find that this concept makes me nervous. Not everything about it does, but it really depends on what the sin is in the first place. I'm not one who likes to weigh sins. No matter the sin, it causes separation and it needs to be healed. But some sins cause more emotional and physical trauma than others, and they present an immediate danger. As intended, the visual of my clergy collar often attracts people in need. Once, when I was newly ordained, I got stopped on the sidewalk outside a bus terminal by someone who needed prayer. They said their spouse had died 3 years before of cancer, but all during their marriage, the spouse had been physically and emotionally abusing to them. They had belonged to a Christian denomination that said if they got a divorce, that they would be kicked out of the church and they would burn in a pit of fire. For 10 years, this person suffered abuse and did not leave the marriage because they had more fear of God's punishment for divorce than they feared of their spouse. As I listened to them, they began to tear up and tremble. They said they had tried, but they could not forgive their spouse. They quoted parts of today's gospel reading, saying that Jesus said we're supposed to forgive others in our hearts 7 times 70 times. And if we didn't, God would torture us for all eternity. I didn't even remember the torture part, so I didn't know what to say. It caught me off guard. I don't know if it changed anything for them. Encounter has been a constant reminder that yes, Scripture is holy, but the perception of its meaning derived from simply reading it as opposed to studying it can be dangerous to body, mind, and soul. It can lead to a life of torture, a life of pain and suffering right here and now. Remaining in a situation of abuse and trauma is not holy, and it is not what God's God intends for us. If you are in a situation like this, the process of forgiveness can't even begin to start when you are still in the midst of physical or emotional harm. If you are, please come and see me. Or reach out to a friend, see a counselor, go to a shelter, find someone that you can trust, and design a plan for your safety. So what are we supposed to do with the potential dangers of the Holy Scriptures? And particularly, what are we to do with today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew? Let's look at the last two verses we heard today in chapter 18. They are verses 34 and 35. It says, "And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Is this parable that Jesus told, is it a fear-based, punitive threat from an angry, torturing, vengeful God? Or is this a teaching moment from a loving and merciful God? Listen to the two verses prior to those, verses 32 and 33. "Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?'" Is it a fear-based threat from an angry, torturing, vengeful God? Or is it a lesson about relationship and compassion from a loving and merciful God? I think the answer has to come from who we believe God to be. And there is a striking difference in today's scripture depending on where we think this parable actually ends. Does it end with verses 32 and 33 or 34 and 35? I will say that there are scholars who support both endings. For scholars that believe every word in the Bible was written by the hand of God and has to be understood literally, as is at face value, then ending with verses 34 and 35 is what Jesus wants to teach us about God. To me, it seems that when Scripture is read this way, God is a God that loves us unconditionally 1 minute and then, bam, throws us into hell for a variety of damning reasons. But on the other hand, there are scholars that read Scripture and interpret them seriously, but not literally. They understand there is more to the Scriptures than what appears at face value. These scholars use a variety of methods that help us understand the culture and context in which the Scriptures were written. These methods help us understand what the words actually meant when they were written. These scholars understand that the Scriptures are holy and sacred recordings of humanity's complex relationship with God and not a simple rule book handed down from God. These scholars believe that in the same way that the Gospel of Mark has an added ending that is not in the original Gospel, and how the writer of John added commentary throughout the text, these scholars believe Matthew added verses 34 and 35 to this chapter. This theology of limiting God's love for us is seen elsewhere in the Gospel of Matthew, so it would seem to have been prevalent in his community. When we take off the two added verses, we don't get a fear-based threat from an angry, torturing, vengeful God. We get an opportunity to grow through the love and mercy of God, and we get instruction to respond through that love with compassion and mercy to the rest of God's children. For me, the parable without the last two verses fits in helping teach us what it's like to live a life of forgiveness and mercy. God wants us to forgive and show mercy to others in the same way as God forgives and shows mercy to us. When the last two verses are added, the parable seems to actually conflict with Jesus' answer to Peter. That answer to Peter is that forgiveness should be extended in an extreme and unlimited manner. That was Jesus' response. And in the parable, one talent is equal to 6,000 denarii. And one denarius is equal to one day's wage. 10,000 talents was actually the biggest unit of measurement that they had. 10,000 talents are equal to 60 million days' wages. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, may be compared to someone being forgiven from a debt that would take well over 150,000 years to pay off. This does not sound like a kingdom of God whose forgiveness becomes conditional, but it sure sounds like a kingdom built on the type of relationship Jesus models for us to follow. I think Jesus knew of the demons that haunt us and our need for forgiveness and mercy. I think when Jesus teaches us to forgive an unimaginable amount of times, he's reminding us that forgiveness is a process. Sometimes the trauma that causes separation in our lives is reoccurring, and sometimes that trauma that causes separation, sin in our lives, may only happen once. But either way, our need to show mercy and forgiveness to others and our need to show mercy and forgiveness to ourselves may only bring healing if we practice forgiveness over and over and over again. Amen.